Good evening. Have you ever had to tell your boss that he was wrong? Or have you ever had to tell your boss that you were wrong? Have you ever had to tell the most powerful man in the world that his dreams for the future were completely off base? Yeah, I had to do that. For a moment, all the pride and wrath of a powerful monarch rested on David's brow like a crown. I actually thought I might die. And then I could see a transformation take place. But I'm getting ahead of myself. My name is Nathan, and I am a prophet of the Most High. You probably know that my name Nathan means gift. And you probably imagine that my job sometimes isn't a gift. I mean, sometimes when you speak for God, you have to voice the truth, even when you are wrong, even when you don't know what will happen next. And I had been wrong, though I'm not sure it was entirely my fault. But it happened like this. David the king had finally ascended the throne of a united kingdom. He conquered Jerusalem, set up his capital city there. Then we brought the tent of the presence up to Jerusalem. The tabernacle had housed the Ark of the Covenant ever since the days of Moses, who you met last week. In fact, he's sitting right there. And now Yahweh pitched his tent in the shadow of the palace. You should have seen David dance before the ark. Some thought the king made a fool of himself as we marched up the hill of the city, and the crowd cheered. But the reckless abandon of David's dance and the clear voice of his song showed our monarch owed allegiance to a greater king. I didn't know David when he was just a shepherd boy, but it's easy to imagine him singing to his sheep in the hills of Bethlehem. The whole flock must have been treated to quite a private praise concert now and then. David had a beautiful voice, and he danced with the grace of a seasoned warrior. So the ark camped out in a crude shelter while David enjoyed his great cedar palace. I think it rankled the king more than he let on. David knew what it was like to sleep in an army tent, in a secret cave, or out in the open air. And now, with his power consolidated and his crown secure, it seemed somehow vulgar to have the Almighty God camped out in a lean-to that David could see through his cedar plank window. So the king called in the prophet, me. Always a good idea when making big plans. King David told me of his sweeping vision for the house of the Ark of the Covenant, a temple for the mercy seat, where the presence of Yahweh dwells. If David had a house of cedar, so then should God. I mean, after all, our monarch owed allegiance to a greater king. So I told David what prophets are supposed to tell kings. I honestly couldn't have known that I was wrong. King Saul got the same instructions. Once the Holy Spirit has come upon you from on high, do what your hand finds you to do. God is with you. Saul's hand went back to the plow after that until the Philistines attacked, and he took up the mantle of leadership. But that's a different story of a different king. The point is simply this. King David was anointed with the Holy Spirit. He was a man after Yahweh's own heart. David knew he owed his reign to the God he called king. And now God's chosen, anointed leader wanted to build a house for God's name. Of course, I told him, do what your hand finds to do, for God is with you. You would have told him the same thing. So I'm not sure it was entirely my fault, but I was wrong. Without a clear word to the contrary, someone who is anointed with the Holy Spirit is supposed to do what's in front of them. Do what their hand finds to do. clear word to the contrary, I would say so. Yahweh himself showed up to give David a clear word to the contrary. Well, actually, God's word came to me, and I had to take it to David. Did I mention my job isn't always a gift? I was sent to tell David. This is what the Lord Almighty says. You want to build for me a house? No, 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 David. I am going to build for you a house. Your son can build my house, the temple, but I will build your house, a dynasty. A son of David will one day sit on an eternal throne, and I will be to him a father, and he will be my beloved son, with whom I am well pleased. And when the son of David ascends his throne, his reign will have no end. So I was sent to tell David that his dream for the future was all wrong. At least that's what it felt like at the time. I guess I was actually sent to tell David that his dream for the future was, well, not all wrong, but too small. David wasn't going to get what he wanted, but what God wanted to give was so much more than David had dreamed. Still, it's never easy to tell the king he can't have what he wants. I mean, other kings from other nations are known to kill the messenger. While David is a man after Yahweh's own heart, he is also a man of war. I always thought General Joab was behind some of the more bloody politics, but David himself could be pretty brutal. The man who brought the news of King Saul's death was executed for treason, and David himself gave the order. I'm not sure that I like the sound of that. So I decided not to gloat, and to make sure Joab was not in town. When I went in to the king, he was in high spirits. He was already making plans to establish God's dwelling permanently in the capital. I had to get his attention away from the royal architects, the stonemasons, the carpenters, in order to tell him the construction project would have to be put on hold. As I told David he had to let go of his own dream for the future, his face hardened and his eyes grew dark. He dismissed the builders coldly. I tried to tell the king that the whatever your hand finds to do stuff was just a general guideline. And it wasn't my fault, and all the rules have exceptions, but he didn't look like he was buying it. All he heard was me telling him no. For a moment, all the pride and wrath of a powerful monarch rested on David's brow like a crown. I actually thought I was going to die. So I gave up trying to make myself look good and just delivered the message entrusted to me. I spoke the word of the Lord instead of my excuses, and I could actually see a transformation take place. As I spoke God's future over David, I could see the proud king melt away and the shepherd boy return. David let go of his own dream for God's future in order to embrace God's dream for his future. When I finished the message, the king grabbed me by the elbow and marched me right out of the palace and took me over to the tent of the presence of Yahweh. There were no cedar beams. There was no marble pillar, but David hadn't come to study architecture. He sat down to pray. And how the king prayed. He poured his words out to God the same way that he had done when he danced before the ark with total abandon. I wept openly as I heard the king, who knew both his place and his God. Who am I, O Lord, that you would make such promises to me? The simple shepherd boy was back. David was always a better king when he was a shepherd first, and the shepherd boy knew how much he depended on his true king for everything that he had. David latched onto the promise of a royal heir, a son of David to sit on an eternal throne, a ruler whom God claimed as his beloved son. David heard the promise and received the promise and let go of all his own dreams in order to hold on to that promise. I left him still worshiping, still praising God's will and purpose, still overcome with gratitude for the promise beyond what he deserved. And I went away with a deeper sense of God's heart. What kind of God puts his own comfort aside to make promises to his people? What kind of divine will commits to individuals with a sketchy past and an unreliable future? What kind of God replaces our small dreams for the future with his grand dreams for us? I had to tell the king his plans were being overruled by God's plans, and David received it as a gift. So it turns out I was wrong, and David was wrong too. Neither of us could have guessed the gracious promise God had in mind. And while it all turned out better than I could have expected, I'm still here. I still had to go in and tell the king he was wrong. Man, I hope I never have to do that again.